Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
Clipcentral.com.
I'm Adrian Groenewald with me, Louis Groenewald. Today, Barbara Dale Jones not in. She's got board meetings to attend to, some of us. So she's not with us, but Louis, here we go. I think we're going to have a good conversation with an award-winning teacher. We'll introduce him in a moment. Last week, you can download the podcast. We spoke to Ought South Africa, an accredited award-winning non-profit organization affiliated with a lot of teaching. Mpo Matlala spoke to us. He's the head of Teacher Empowerment Department at Ought SA. It was an interesting conversation. And today, though, we've got Jason Fisher, teacher from Randfontein High, if I'm correct there. There's a winner. He's the winner of the Excellence in Secondary Teaching for the district. And I think he went on nationally and did pretty good as well. So it's about time we talk to an award-winning teacher. Jason Fisher, welcome to the Leadership and Education Show.
Thank you, and happy to be talking to you.
I'm sorry you're not in the studio. I understand you've got teaching to attend to. But so we've got you on the line. We're grateful for it. And we just want to find out a little bit more about the heart of a school, and that is teaching. We'll pull it back to the principal as well. But where does your passion for teaching and English maybe come from?
Oh, well, I always did very well at school in English, and I'm a reader and love literature, and always had a concern about with my own children, making sure that their sentence construction was always right. And the rule at home was that if you're going to speak English, then speak it correctly. And if you're going to speak Afrikaans, don't mix the two. And I think over the years, I just had this desire to, my children call me a walking red pen, because I'm stopping them in the middle of a sentence and saying, say that word correctly. And so I think I'm always concerned about standards of communication and just enjoy the English class. I think it's one of the most wonderful subjects to teach at high school. And so this passion has always been with me.
Okay, we'll look at it a little bit more. Just tell us about this Excellency in Secondary Teaching. What's this award about? How does it come about? How do they? What's the process? And you know.
Right. Okay. It started at school. I didn't know that I was nominated, but of course, once I was nominated by the teachers here, I had to write a profile about myself, which was quite difficult to do. But then went to an interview. We had two districts combined. It was Johannesburg West and Gauteng West. My district is Gauteng West. And at that competition, I was the overall winner of all the categories, the overall winner for excellence in secondary school teaching. And then at the provincial level, I won at the province as well and went on to nationals. And what happens is, pardon me, I've been talking all day to children. Mm-hmm. They conducted interviews during the first round, that was at district level, and then there was the next was at provincial level, and a panel visited the school, and I didn't know that turned up. I only found out later, and they interviewed my principal as well as some of the learners, and probably about what happens in our classroom and so forth. Mm. And then I won the provincials and went on to nationals. And unfortunately, much to my disappointment, I got the second position at the national competition. I think I had to be first, but that was a lady's chance this year. And a lady from, I think, Limpopo was the winner, and I was second.
So you're competitive as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very, very competitive. I can't handle being second. When I was at school, my dad had to take me to see a psychologist once because I threatened slitting my wrist because in mathematics, I remember I got 82, and I thought I needed to get something in the 90s, and I thought the teacher just didn't like me. But I do not like losing.
Yeah, I mean, let's suppose for a moment here, just for the sake of today's conversation, that you did very well at that competition and that you're a damn good teacher. Shall we do that?
Okay.
All right, because second is not too bad nationally. All right. Yeah. What do you attribute your success to? Not just in the competition, but as a teacher.
Right. I think firstly, my success at this particular school is mainly due to the fact that I'm at one of the most fantastic school there. I think it's the best school in South Africa.
So the context helps. The context of a good school obviously contributes.
Firstly, in terms of the leadership at this school, we have a principal who doesn't micromanage. So because I'm in charge of English, she allows me to just, I just have to make sure I reach the outcome and make sure that we reach our goals. But the methodologies I apply, I'm innovative. I get my teachers to do exactly what I do or even better. My wife thinks that I'm on some kind of drug because I was always hyperactive as a child. But over the years, I've sort of learned to survive on 5 hours of sleep because even in my sleep, I'm calling out the children's names. She tells me or she'll record me and I'm quoting from Othello or something like that. And but I'm at a school that's completely conducive to maximize potential in anyone. It's a trend-setting school in the sense that it's also completely digital, 100% digital.
Correct.
And, you know, that's such an aid in the English classroom. For example, if I'm teaching Dover Beach, and these our learners are all non-home language English speakers. English is probably their fourth or fifth language, but they all do English at home language level. And if I can show them clips of Dover Beach, and I often show them my own pictures of me at Dover Beach and that kind of thing, and just creates a platform of interest to and a point of departure where the poem suddenly becomes so meaningful. And I think another part is that the teamwork that we have at school, I just enjoy coming to school and working with the teachers and our learners. They all speak English the same way I do. I work on accent and things like that. And I always tell them that the better you sound guarantees the at an interview that you'll be shortlisted.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you sound good, that you read a lot, and that you come across as an educated person. So I think just that opportunity to be that way and do that at the school as part of the success. Attributes to my success.
Jason, if I come into your class, what am I going to see there? Tell me the size of the class in general. Now, as a teacher, I know you run your HOD, you run the Department of English, but if I come into your class, just tell me what I'm seeing from technically how many kids and then to interaction. I mean, what am I going to experience? I'm sitting in the back or I'm a fly on the wall. What am I seeing?
Well, you're not going to want to sit at the back because normally the ones at the back, I like, you know.
Okay, I'm in the front.
I dedicate to the ones at the back because they're the ones who haven't read the section of work for the day or so. Yeah. But at our school, every single lesson starts with a digital quiz. So the children, like today, they wrote the quiz on Chapter 3 of The Great Gatsby, and it was 10 minutes long. So they rush in quickly to sit down and start doing the test. Once you've initiated or started the program, the clock runs. And so if you're going to dawdle, it's going to cut you off and your mark, you're going to suffer. And so there's order because we have to start with the test on either last week's work or on the previous day's work. And so I had an open tab or open pad test today, and which most of them couldn't finish, just to make sure they are reading and reading analytically. So you'd probably have to watch them do the test, and then thereafter we'd go into the next section or the next chapter. And so I would always start with some arouse and direct the lesson with some interesting anecdote from my own life or from I've mentioned something that was on the news this week or so. I'm trying to link it to what I was going to do. We worked at a very fast pace. But I found that I would rather let them do a lot of talking and I would just steer and guide. So you'll find that they do most of the contributions to the lesson and I just direct it. I sort of steer them in the right direction and get them to learn by discovery. And I think this is how we develop understanding. And when they write examinations, they write from a pool of understanding and not from something they're regurgitating.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's very exciting answers and so forth. And also, I'm interested to read what they really want to write. I teach my children to be critical. We criticize the government. We criticize people. We criticize systems. I ask the point of view. I enjoy it when they show me that they thinkers and that they can critique literature and so forth. So I think that freedom in the classroom is what you're with me.
So a question to you. Are we preparing our kids for the world out there? I mean, we can talk a half hour, if not longer, about what the world out there is. Kids have to go out there and they have to face a never-ending, right. changing world with technology, the front runner in this whole thing, and probably impacting it and causing the cause of it all. You've got an interconnected world. You've got a world which, in many instances, are so disconnected from our education system, perhaps in many respects.
Right.
In fact, I'm wondering if we still see teaching in classrooms, or do we just see kids coming in, taking a few minutes to sit down because of the size of classrooms and many other dynamics, right. perhaps. And then by the time they've sat down, you hardly have time to teach. Then you start explaining the homework, and then they can do a little bit of homework. What they don't finish, they take home. And in the end, it really just revolves around homework, and homework is scheduled into the curriculum, is scheduled into homework, right. rather than into teaching. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I mean, are we still seeing teachers like in the old days? Like, what's that famous movie?
Can Deliver?
No, or it's a Dead Poet Society. Is that it?
Oh,
also
yes,
about
yes.
this amazing teacher, Robin Williams, if I'm correct.
Yes,
so,
that's
so
right.
Do we still see that where teaching is inspiring and the teacher inspires? Is that happening? Are we preparing our kids for the future?
Well, I don't think we are. The saddest thing is when you meet your past learners and they at some campus, and then you'd ask them, how are you coping? And they'll say, sir, was it complicated? Because we're still stuck in a traditional system. However, schools take initiatives like the one I'm teaching at, where, we change our entire ethos of the school and our attitude towards schooling. We have faculties. So I'm in the faculty of English. So we already exposing them to terminology they will use once they leave matric. We talk about the campus. We talk about the portal, the student portal, the learner portal, and their passwords and so forth. If we begin to prepare them to realize that there's much more to learning than just regurgitating content from a textbook, they don't enjoy it. And I think, especially in the English or language teacher's classroom, we are in that fortunate position to link whatever we do to what's really happening in the real world. Mm. We want authentic answers, and we prepare them to communicate. For example, the syllabus is great, the CAT syllabus, because we do things like dialogue and conducting an interview, how to communicate. For example, last week we read samples of obituaries, and children found it amusing that you've got to actually write something about a dead person. That's what they always hear, but they never think that they're going to have to do something like that one day. But, you know, I think it's up to the school again and the environment that the school creates, where we can be as creative as possible, relate to what's happening in the outside world. I Skype to teachers in the UK who are also doing the Gatsby, and we could have our classes talk to one another. So if you don't use initiatives like that, then you're going to have a mundane experience in your classroom, and it will get mediocre results. At this school, we get 100% matric pass every year, and between 70 to 80% go to university with bachelor's passes. This year, the goal is 100% to go to get bachelor passes. Mm. And I think it's just, and also I introduce them to many past learners who are successful. They come and give them talks, and I think we've got to bridge that gap always to change a traditional system and make it exciting, so that at least when they left school after 5 years, and they could read, the school taught me something that
So what I hear you saying, and I'm not capturing it all, I know, but certainly if in our schools we can teach kids critical thinking skills, they must be able to think critically and even challenge the status quo, or the establishment. So challenge the established way of doing things. That is very important. Technology, of course. I mean, the enabler of this integrated society. We're in the information age, which a lot of people still don't understand. They still think and educate to prepare kids for the industrial age.
Right.
We're in a world where that's long gone to a large degree. So critical thinking skills, technology, getting kids to challenge the process within boundaries, I guess, to some degree. Those all seem to be some of the elements that must be present in the classroom to help prepare a child for this mad world, this crazy world that they will enter. So you, what else would you add there for teachers in general? I believe any subject, the teacher must have the passion and the skill and the ability to make it relevant in today's world, right. Be it math, science, English, geography, it doesn't matter what it is. If you know your game, you'll make it relevant in their lives now. I mean, I would think, how relevant can English be? But as you say, you can make it very relevant. So what else would you add there as an award-winning teacher that must be in the classroom to prepare kids for the future?
Right, I think it will start, and I think, certainly and definitely with the teacher. The teacher must be able to be inquisitive. You must be inquisitive. You must compete with this world and also find out what's happening elsewhere that's working. So read as much as you can. Know what's taking place locally. Be aware of all the social issues that is trending. And find out how much your children, the learners, are exposed to whatever's trending and their personal views. I encourage my children never to be ashamed or even afraid of expressing their point of view, because everyone's point of view contributes to a complete understanding and makes us complete people who would be able to respond to every situation, no matter how complicated it might be. And then also find out what's happening in places abroad, what's happening in other African countries. If you're teaching children with the demographics that I'm faced with, where they might be speaking Tswana or Zulu at home, and their parents don't even speak English, read the material about how to be effective in reaching the child where English is a second or third language. And that's, of course, where you would have to be animated and bringing in as many examples as you can. For example, on Valentine's Day, I would bring my wedding videos and show, you know, when I still had all my hair and my beard and all that. And they can't believe that's me. Yeah. But of course, you know, I think just be as exciting as possible. Know all your children. Some of them are complicated to teach. There are some difficult learners. But there's always hope. And I found that the moment you can compliment the child for the slightest little effort or some positive trait that you discover, that's the beginning of developing relationships. I know all my past learners. I've got thousands of them on Facebook. I'm taking a group to Europe in July, the debaters. I also coach debating at school. And I'm able to raise enough money to take all the, I needed 200,000 rand to take the 6 children to the Czech Republic in July. And my partner is started giving 100 grand each. So I keep make sure I keep ties with them. I acknowledge them on their birthdays. I attend 21st birthday parties. I get invited to weddings. I get invited to initiation ceremonies and things like that. And, you know, so I think I they call me father. I call them son and daughter. I know their names. If I forget, then you'll be daughter. And it's just relationships, and I think it's
interesting. Yeah, I think I'm getting a you've packed a lot of tips in there. Just a final question that I have for you, and it's been a pleasure chatting with you, because I hope your passion and revives in some other teachers. And obviously, you've also mentioned the kind of principal or leader you need in order for you to flourish, or for any good teacher to flourish. But final question: there's this debate raging about homework or not homework. Families are under pressure, and it feels like there's a school in the morning up to 2 o'clock, then there's a school and fight with parents in the afternoon into the evening. What's your philosophy, very briefly, homework or not?
Well, I think, again, it's dependent on the school. We have a very academic-focused school, and so we teach you that homework is really study. It's a strange thing that most learners see they have a negative approach to homework. They really detest the activity. And then they have study as that last-minute thing you do before a test and exam the next day. So we've been teaching at our school that homework is really study. But no homework should be tedious, lengthy, complicated exercises that really drain the child. Because what's the point of them having for work for hours at home? They then come back to school the next day completely exhausted. They fall asleep by 10 o'clock. Then, you know, it just impacts on poor results. So we try to measure it. We talk to departments. We have grade meetings. We try not to overload the homework. We spread it evenly.
All right.
And we also make it exciting little pieces. If you don't download, you can't do anything at home.
All right.
So download what you need. You can also contact your teacher. We also make the homework experiences where you can still interact with your teacher.
Okay.
We have Facebook groups. We have WhatsApp groups. And just to make homework an exciting experience.
Thank you, Jason Fisher. Our time is up. Great being with you. And thank you for the good work you're doing and hopefully inspiring other teachers and principals to do better at what they're doing. We appreciate having you with us.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. That's it, Leadership and Education Show. It's the end of it. We look forward to being with you next week. Great guests, LC CEO in our Leadership Masterclass next week. Have a good week, all of you.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
Cliffcentral.com.